We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Eli, my man, let's go. That sure was fun, talking football with Anthony Heron. We are going to make it a weekly thing. We were talking about the logistics of it because we do have so much play-by-play here on The Score that it's hard to schedule things. I just realized that we haven't even talked fantasy in a minute. Like, I need to get Michael Beller back on to talk fantasy. Herbie, let's try to get Michael Beller on tomorrow, too. We have another full show tomorrow, which I'm actually kind of excited about. We got some good guests for tomorrow's show, too. And don't, if you missed out on the conversation that I had with Anthony, we're going to bring a big portion of that back as the Bears get ready to take on the Patriots this weekend. I had so much fun watching Aaron Rodgers last night and watching Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes just trade knockout punches Sunday night. There's a part of me that knows that does feel like I'm cheating on football to a certain extent, because I know it's like you can't touch quarterbacks. There's a lot of bogus calls on defensive players. This game is supposed to, the whole goal of it now is to have the crazy games like you had on Sunday and what you had last night, where C.J. Beathard is out there slinging the pill around, scoring 30 points. You're going, that C.J. Beathard, that shouldn't be possible to be happening, but it is, because that's how football is right now. But I was on the couch. So we had finished, just to give you an idea of what the day is like, not that you care, but I just wanted to point this out. A lot of times on Sunday, I am footballed out, because I've spent 7, 8, 9. So I usually get there around 10:30. I'm usually out of there by 5:30. What is that? 7 hours? So 7 hours on the clock, thinking, talking, eating, breathing football, which is great. I'm not complaining. I have a great gig and I love the guys that I work with over at NBC Sports Chicago. They make watching games, they illuminate when I'm watching games with those guys. It allows me to have a quick learning curve on things. So I love it. And then we do a podcast. We do the Under Center podcast, which is through NBC Sports Chicago. And then I go home and I do my solo podcast where I can kind of give my opinion, because my job on the Under Center thing is not to give opinion. It's to let the experts talk about it. So then I go home and I do my podcast, and then I hang out with my wife. So me and Mel went to Kroll's. And we hung out there and had dinner there. Shout out to Kroll's. I really like that place. We go there a lot. And we were watching the games, and baseball was on too. So I'm sitting there going, yeah, this is going to be whatever. It'll be Brady and Mahomes, and maybe Mahomes will look more like a rookie in this game, or second-year player. He'll look more like a player that hasn't played a lot, because Bill Belichick does that. And early on, he looked really aggressive, and the Patriots took advantage of that aggression, and he turned the ball over. You're going, oh, this is going to be one of those games where Tom Brady goes out there and just runs up the score. But Mahomes showed some oomph. And honestly, I felt the same way about Mitch in the second half of the game against the Dolphins, where it's a little bit inexcusable that after a bye, the Bears' offense wasn't as sharp as you would have liked, considering they scored no points in the first half. And then they come out in that third quarter and they go up and down the field, and Mitch makes throws. The offense is clicking. Tariq Cohen is doing incredible things. Taylor Gabriel is out there. I thought Mitch showed a lot of balls, especially in the third quarter of the game. And it was the same thing with Patrick Mahomes, where he accepted the challenge. There's Tom Brady. Some people say he's the GOAT. I have him right behind Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, to me, is the best quarterback who's ever lived. I know that Tom Brady has more rings. I'm not talking about accomplishment. I'm talking about the talent. And I think talent-wise, Aaron Rodgers is above Tom Brady. And that doesn't mean that I think Tom Brady is bad or trash or whatever else you would put on me for saying that.
If you're already labeling Rodgers as the GOAT, then maybe this question doesn't matter. But is there any other quarterback that does the back shoulder throw better or has ever done the back shoulder throw better than Rodgers?
I'd love to go look at some old Favre tape. I'd love to go look at some Elway tape and some Montana tape. But I think that Rodgers is way more athletic than Montana. He's probably smarter with the football than Favre, because while Favre has the most touchdowns, he also has the most interceptions. Elway's probably a good comp. And the knock on Elway was always, well, you know, he can't win, and he couldn't win until Terrell Davis got to Denver. I would probably start there, maybe look a little bit at Marino, because he used to make crazy throws. I can't go any, that's my lifetime. I can't really go any farther back than that. But the back shoulder throw, his placement, to me, the only guy, I shouldn't say that because I feel that way about Brady too. I think Brady's ball placement is good, but it's not Aaron Rodgers. The only guy that I have right there with Aaron Rodgers as far as placement is Drew Brees. Drew Brees is amazing to me because he's barely 6 feet tall. And one of the things I love about him is if you watch him, yeah, he's 6 feet. But when he throws, he's almost on his tiptoes. So he goes from 6 feet to 6'1" or whatever. And his arm extension is always really good too. It's so fun to watch him play the position because he's not Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is exactly the way that you would draw it up. Bigger guy, athletic, strong arm, accurate arm, really smart. If you were building a quarterback, it would be Aaron Rodgers. But my God, like you watch the quarterback, and maybe it turns out to be Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is a little bit more slight. And I do worry about when he gets outside of the pocket, are people going to break him in half? But watching those two guys play quarterback was so fun. So we get home, and that would have been a time for me to kind of dial it back. I'll find out what happened tomorrow. I'll watch the end of the game tomorrow. And I put on some sweatpants, went down to the basement, and just sat there and just enjoyed it. And it's nice to have games like that where you can just enjoy it. Watching a Bears game, it doesn't allow for it because we're all invested. You're invested as a fan. I'm invested as someone who does this for a living. It's different. But just being able there to enjoy it. And even last night, watching, I was here and I did a sit down with Kelly Krull for my podcast, which will be up tomorrow. Well, it's really good. She's phenomenal. It's really, really good. Anyway, I left here and I rushed home because Herbie was like, why is CJ Beathard out here doing work? And I couldn't believe it. But then I could believe it because I feel like no coach has done less with more than Mike McCarthy. So I'm going, there's no way they lose this. If Aaron Rodgers gets a chance to stick a stake in your heart, he's going to do it. And they gave him the chance, and I was watching the play calling at the end, and I was going, oh, no. You don't need incompletes here. You need to run this clock out. If he gets the ball again, you're dead. And he got the ball again, and we all knew it. Like, that's the cool part. The collective fandom of all of us watching that game going, he better not give that ball back to Aaron Rodgers. Oh, he gave the ball back to Aaron Rodgers. And now what's going to happen? Aaron Rodgers is going to do the Aaron Rodgers thing. And he got help, and he said this in the postgame. By the way, what was up with that weird angle that they were shooting him at? Did you see it, Eli? You know what I'm talking about? The postgame interview that he did with Lisa Salter, at first it was the two-shot, like the usual two-shot. Lisa's there, Aaron's there, they're talking, you keep two people. There was like an angle close-up of Aaron Rodgers from like his toes. It was so strange. Anyway, you just knew what was going to happen. You see him do it, and you're amazed at what generational quarterback play looks like. It's probably too early to say that about Mahomes, but I will say watching him go up against what some people consider the best to ever do it and not flinch, man, that was cool. And to see Brady be like, and you knew what was going to happen there too. Like, if Tom Brady gets the ball back again, something bad's going to happen to Kansas City. Brady gets the ball back. And you're sitting there, it's just great. Like, it was phenomenal. This is what the NFL wants, though. The NFL wants us to love this. They don't want us to love defense anymore. I'm not passing a judgment on it. I'm just saying that it went through my mind as I was watching the Nintendo scores that were going up this weekend. And I went, do I really like this? Would I prefer better performances from the defense? Do I want to watch what's a good, like, traditional defensive matchup? Like Baltimore and Pittsburgh or
Baltimore-Jacksonville?
Yeah, Baltimore-Jacksonville. I know that I don't want to watch the New York Giants play football anymore. Ever again. Ever. I have no desire to watch that. And whatever the quarterback situation is in Buffalo, which the Bears might be able to take advantage of in a couple of weeks, I don't want to watch that either. It's bad. But it was just tremendously fun. And I felt bad that I thought it was so fun. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. I felt bad that I was having fun knowing that the defensive guys for both teams on Sunday night and on Monday night weren't having any fun at all until Clay Matthews sacks C.J. Beathard and then doesn't get called for roughing the passer this time.
I mean, if you look at the elite defenses or the quote-unquote elite defenses across football, so Jacksonville gets shredded against Dallas. The Rocket Ship does work against the Bears. Baltimore puts up, you know, or shuts out the Titans. So that's the one quote-unquote elite defense that plays well this weekend. So it went along those lines, too, across football with some of the best defenses or some of the best, you know, quote-unquote defenses with the Bears included.
Yeah, I agree. It's so fun to actually like the game again, but I do like defense. Like, I love a pass rush that's making a quarterback uncomfortable. I like watching great cornerback play. There was a moment in the game where Roquan Smith was closing out on Brock Osweiler, and I was like, oh my God, that guy is fast. I don't know if he knows where he's going yet, but once Roquan figures out where he's going, man, the impact that he could have. Funny part is, had they not traded for Khalil Mack, we would be so focused on the development of Roquan Smith along with the development of Mitchell Trubisky. Like, those would be the two things that we would be talking about after games.
Isn't there a reason, and no one's talking about it still, the lack of Leonard Floyd development?
I don't know if it's development, because I thought that he played okay. Look, they were getting the ball out fast. He did get that penalty where he was trying to block the pass, and then he hits Osweiler in the helmet.
Also, yeah, the body, yeah, Herb saying the Amendola, throwing him to the ground. I get that's football, but that's year three.
Yeah,
that's undisciplined.
That play can't happen. The suplex where he's out there like Taz, suplexing guys, That can't happen. I do want to see him be more effective, and you were hoping that in a game where Khalil Mack is clearly not himself, that you would see more from Leonard Floyd. I still have hope with him because of the raw material that's there. But I'd be lying to you if I feel more confident that Roquan will turn into the player that we expect more than Leonard Floyd at this point. Anyway, it's nice to just talk a little bit of football. I'm going to change things up a little bit. I saw something on social media this morning that had me tearing up a little bit. I'm an emotional guy. And I wanted to talk to you about it in a larger context. I'm going to retweet it now. So if you're on Twitter, at Lawrence W. Holmes, you can see it and you can watch it during the break, and then we can talk about it. But it was something cool that the NHL did. For once, the NHL got something right. I'll talk about it with you next here on The Score. Glad that you're hanging out. We'll talk to Julie DeCaro around 9:45. We'll do transition. Get you ready for her show. It's coming up at 10 o'clock tonight. I see Julie roaming the hallways right now. So this morning, I hit the gym. I did a light workout. I think I have a torn rotator cuff. Luckily, left shoulder. That's right. The right one's still good to go. Still got a couple innings left in that one. A couple. Max velocity. My favorite person. So I come back from the gym and I see this video on Instagram from the NHL. And I follow like all the leagues and a few teams. The NHL hooked up with Tim Hortons, the donut and coffee place that's in Canada, but I think you like the closest one is in like you Grand Rapids. You're good to go. You can go get yourself Tim Hortons. When I was in Grand Rapids, I enjoyed it. Got the little their version of Munchkins, solid. It's a really cool example of how something that is also good publicity for a brand or a store or whatever can be good. We tend to look at, oh, it's very corporate. But in some cases, the corporate aspect of it can be good. They did this thing where there's a team in Kenya, a hockey team in Kenya, and they have nobody to play. So it's a bunch of guys that love playing hockey, but they don't really have anyone that they can play against because it's not really a hockey hotbed. Africa's not where you would expect there to be a hockey hotbed. So they got together and brought those players from that team to Canada so that they could have someone to play. And the video is very moving. It's only a minute long. And like I said, it's on my Twitter account right now, at Lawrence W. Holmes, if you want to check it out. Or you can go to the NHL's Twitter account. You don't even have to go to mine. You can go to NHL's Twitter account. They have it pinned to the top of their tweets. And it's so great. Like, they're like so excited to be in a locker room and actually play a game. And then Nathan MacKinnon and Sidney Crosby walk in. And they're going to play with these guys from Kenya. By the way, I don't know if the NHL wants to sell those jerseys, those sweaters, but if they do, I will buy one immediately. It's dope. It's like a lion on the front of it. And honestly, I think it would be a really cool fundraiser for the team. Go halvesies or whatever. Get 26 shirts on that. They could do it. But it's a really cool thing. And hockey is bizarre because there's not a lot of look at me. And I feel like this is one of those situations where it's look at me because we want to bring attention to something that's cool. I think that it's a really good way to do that type of thing. Hockey struggles with this. Hockey struggles with promoting itself. Hockey struggles with getting individuals to be comfortable enough to talk about themselves or to talk about the game. Hockey struggles with expanding its horizons and its fan base. The people who love hockey love hockey. You can't tell them no different. But it would, I think it would make a difference for the bottom line of the NHL, for their television ratings or whatever, if they started to reach out into other directions. Not just the hardcore fan of the NHL, but the fan that could be persuaded to be a more hardcore fan. Now, we've done this experiment in Chicago, and it helped that the Blackhawks won 3 cups. But even if you look at the television ratings for the Blackhawks, it's actually steadily gone down. And that might be hockey fatigue. You know, everyone was watching because it was the first time in 50 years, and then maybe people fall off of that. But I really wish that the NHL could figure out a way to bottle some of this stuff. And this is a big step in the right direction. Showing some of your superstars, playing with people who don't have anyone to play with, sharing your game. Hockey is for everybody. Like, that's the campaign that they're on. I thought it was so cool. I don't know Sidney Crosby. Does anyone know any hockey player? I don't know Sidney Crosby. I don't know Nathan MacKinnon. But I love seeing them react to these players. Like, they grew up their whole lives loving hockey. And now you have some players that may not have even had any idea about hockey until later on in life, have discovered the game, found out they love the game, and want to play the game but don't have an outlet to do it. And so the NHL and Tim Hortons provided them the outlet to do it. I highly recommend you watching the video just for your mood. Like, if you've had a rough day, or you know that there's a lot of bad in sports because there's a ton everywhere you look, it will make you smile for a couple of minutes where you see how the power of sports can be used in a really productive way. Now, let me get back to the point of hockey being hockey sometimes. I had a great conversation with Emily Kaplan, who covers hockey for ESPN. She is, and I cannot say this enough, a tremendous writer. She's one of the best sports writers in America right now, and she's 26 years old. We talked this summer about the Vegas effect a little bit, and she had a piece that she had done a little while ago about hockey players being selfless to a fault, and maybe even to the detriment of the game. Take a listen to our conversation.
Maybe I noticed it more because I came directly from football and I was in a football locker room all the time, and guys have no problem just talking about themselves. And you go to a hockey locker room and it's this weird tick. It's almost creepy when you listen to the transcripts. They say you and we. And I asked guys their theories of why it is. A lot of them said, look, it's the most team sport out of all the team sports. If you're a star player, you're only playing about a third or a fourth of the game. Pierre Edward Bellemare, who's a player on the Vegas Golden Knights, told me, if I score a goal, two guys had to touch it before me. Why would I talk about me scoring the goal? And that sounds crazy, right? It's like, dude, you scored a goal. Talk about the goal. There's a few guys who are against the trend. God bless Devontae Smith-Pelly. I was at a Stanley Cup Final media day, and he said, I joke about this all the time. If I score a hat trick in the Stanley Cup Finals, I'm turning to my teammates and like, you guys are fools. I'm talking about myself. And I came up to him every day in the Stanley Cup Finals like, Devontae, you scored a goal. You just need two more to talk about yourself. But yeah, it's ingrained, and no one can quite pinpoint why. Or, you know, it wasn't a coach that just explained you have to do it this way. They say that this is what I grew up. I watched this on TV when I read newspaper articles about hockey players. That's the way they did it. So this is the way I'm going
to
do it.
That's amazing that culture is able to manifest out of no real directive. That no one said that this is the way, but it happens to be the way it is. Is there any sign that will be accepted if it changes? Because I often wonder if that's why there's so many people who don't like P.K. Subban.
Mm-hmm.
Because he, not that he's a me guy, but he clearly will talk about himself a little bit.
Yeah. Well, firstly, just a point about the culture, Pierre-Edward Bellemare, who I wrote about, he's French. He played in the Swedish league. He said, it's like that everywhere that you play hockey, in any league you played internationally.
So anywhere in the world, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm. But to your point, yeah, the reason P.K. Subban, I think, is such a lightning rod in the NHL, maybe there's some racial undertones there. I have some theories about that. But it's also that he kind of bucks the trend. When he did the bow and arrow celebration in Montreal, people freaked out because you're celebrating your own goal in a very showy way. And that's just not the way we do things. That's the way NFL players do things. NBA players have no problem with it. But P.K. Subban was such a pariah for doing that.
And now he's on the cover of NHL 19.
Yeah. No. And look, there's plenty of legions of fans. And he found a team in Nashville that seems to embrace him a little bit more than they did in Montreal, which it was just the worst fit for him. It's the stuffiest, you know, fan base that's all about tradition and la-di-la-di-la, hootie-hootie-hoo. And he found Nashville, which is celebrating a little more, you know, authenticity to city and having fun down there. But he is the pariah. And I will tell you this, there's so many players in the NHL who don't like P.K. Subban. And I think one of the things that bothers him is that he tries to make it about himself.
Does the NHL think that they might be able to grow their brand if more of the stars started to make themselves more visible?
Yes and no. I think the NHL, unfortunately, doesn't put a huge push into marketing individual players. What I've noticed with the NHL marketing plan is they used to do this big thing on rivalries, right? It was Washington, D.C. versus Pittsburgh. It's Gretzky versus Lemieux, Sidney versus Ovi. More
Rivalry
recently,
Wednesday. That's right. A big thing on NBC Sportsnet.
Right. More recently, I've seen them more marketing the fan bases. We're marketing the Nashville experience. We're marketing, look, Winnipeg Jets do the whiteout. Let's market that. So I think that's the trend they're going towards, which is cool. And that's what's great. And during the playoffs, I got to see so many different fan bases and what makes them each unique. But a player like Austin Matthews has a Mexican mom, grew up in Arizona, was the number one pick of the NHL draft, but goes to the Toronto Maple Leafs, where at the time his GM was Lou Lamoriello, who is the worst perpetrator of this belief that players should not be marketed over team. And he is just – they treat him like anybody else. In his rookie year, he broke the Toronto Maple Leafs scoring record, most goals ever by an American rookie. His picture is never on the arena. His picture is never in a pamphlet. They don't let him do any extra interviews. And it's like, what are you doing here?
That was Emily Kaplan on my show a couple months ago, and you should definitely follow her. You should check out her work on ESPN because it's really top-notch. And she stepped in. Shout out to her for stepping in for my man JD when he took a leave of absence, and she wrote for ESPN.com, ESPNChicago.com, while JD was taking care of his wife. So I have a real appreciation for her. We worked together over at 120 Sports a while back, and I'm telling you, she is going to win a Pulitzer. I don't know if it's going to be for sports writing, and if I had to guess, I would tell you it wouldn't be for sports writing. But she is impressive. Anyway, I know that it's easy to draw the parallels and the contrast between the NHL and the NBA, and I'm going to take the easy route. The whole reason I wanted to talk about this tonight, I knew that I wanted to talk about the video because it hit me in an emotional place. I thought it was great. I thought that the NHL did a great job with it. Tim Hortons did a great job with it. McKinnon and Crosby. And seeing those guys smile when they get the opportunity to actually play another team, I thought was really good. And it warmed my heart. It really, truly did. And again, just go to the NHL's Twitter account or their Instagram account, watch the video, and let me know what you think. But when I told Kirby that I wanted to talk about this today, I happened to be on Twitter at the time, and the NBA tweeted out, what player was that? Was it Marcus Smart? Oh, my God. Marcus Smart. I think it was Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart walking into the arena wearing, like, I don't even know what to call it. It was like a shirt or a sweater. But he didn't have a shirt on underneath. It was so weird, but it was completely what you expect from the NBA. And what I thought was hysterical about it is that this wasn't me in the tunnel at a game seeing, man, check out Marcus Smart. This wasn't a media company that happened to catch Marcus Smart's ridiculous outfit. I say it's ridiculous. I can't wear it. I couldn't pull it off. And I just went, this is the NBA. Like, they're tweeting that out. And that they are so open to the idea of, we're just going to let the guys be the guys now. Now, there was a time when that was not the case. And it wasn't that long ago, and there are plenty of NBA fans who remember it.
It is Marcus Smart.
I figure. What is he? Can you describe what he's wearing? Eli, you want to take a crack at this?
It looks like he is wearing like a lounge jacket.
Like a silk robe, maybe?
Yeah.
But with no some, shirt.
Yeah, with like a, it's not a kente cloth, but like a scarf kind of around the the lapels.
Looks like a boxing robe, honestly.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, that's good. Eli, that's perfect.
It's got the chains popping.
He's walking into the arena wearing a boxing robe and no shirt. And the NBA is like, yay, the season's back.
Yeah, because you had to wear something like at least a collared shirt, but I guess they say that the lapels would go as a collar.
I guess.
But that man is bare-chested and all.
It's so funny to me, too, Herbie, because the ESPN's got this like love letter to basketball thing that's going on. And one of the clips, they have David Stern like, yeah, music, sports, and fashion. Those things are indicators of the culture. And I'm like, you tried to snuff out the culture. It made Allen Iverson put on a suit. He didn't want to wear that suit. I've heard great stories about Allen Iverson wearing whatever he was wearing on road trips and then just buying clothes at the new place. Like, that's just, he didn't have a bag. He'll buy something when he gets there. I don't think that's necessarily great financial advice, but whatever. Is there a happy medium? Can the NHL maybe not get to the point where guys are walking into the arenas with no shirts on, but can they get a little bit closer to being an individual is okay, that it doesn't have to be hockey culture all the time? I hope so.
How about like Jonathan Toews tweeting Connor McDavid that he don't want that smoke?
Well, I got to tell you, I was really happy to hear Jonathan Toews on McNeil and Parkins last week, because I can't remember the last time that Jonathan Toews was on the Score. And that guy, I think that there is something to him. Some guys you see and you go, this guy is a basketball player, baseball player, football player. That's their identity. That's all they are. And there's nothing wrong with that. I see Jonathan Toews and I feel like there's something there. Like, the things that make him a great leader on the ice, I imagine would make him a great leader off the ice. And that's not true for every player.
McNeil brought up a good point that he compared him to Toews currently to Paul Konerko, how he developed his personality on the air.
That's a pretty good comp. I haven't asked enough questions of Toews after a game to compare him, but I will tell you this. Paul Konerko is the most thorough answer I'd ever gotten when it came to asking a question, an athlete listening to your question, digesting it, and then giving you an answer. I've been at the Score since 1998. I've been reporting since 2003. There's no other athlete in Chicago that I covered that gave better answers than Paul Konerko. I think that's a good comp. I would love to talk with Jonathan Toews, like, off the record. And I know that he's been a little bit more open about how he feels. Like, he's clearly an environmentalist. Clearly. He cares about the environment. I'd love to hear more. And maybe he's one of those guys that after he's done, we'll see him expand his horizon. Maybe he doesn't want to. I'm not trying to put this on Jonathan Toews that he has to do this. It's just that there are some guys that you can imagine they can do other stuff. Like Theo, for example. Does anyone here believe that if Theo decided that he wanted to run for mayor of Chicago, and I don't mean just because he won, that he's won a World Series. If Theo wanted to run the Democratic or Republican party, do you think he wouldn't be successful? Because I'm here to tell you he would. If he ever wanted to do that, I feel like he's got the ability to do that. And I feel similarly about Jonathan Toews, not to run, you know, the whatever that is in Canada. But I mean that there's more to him than just hockey. And I think that it's been real convenient for all of us to look at Toews and go, he's so serious. He only cares about hockey because it fits the narrative of what the NHL is. This is what they embrace. I wish they could just, they don't have to go all the way NBA. You don't have to go NBA Twitter and all that other stuff. But if they could just inch a little bit closer, I think it would help their game grow. And I think they did that a little bit today with that tweet. And again, I highly recommend that you keep that one on standby for a day that you're not feeling great. You're feeling a little bit down about sports. You should look at that story about the Kenyan hockey players and Sidney Crosby and Nathan MacKinnon playing hockey with those guys. It's great. It's just flat out great. Talk with Julie next here on The Score. So, Julie, why are we not in the transition promo?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, we should be in the transition promo.
I agree, because everything stops after your show.
Yes, it's not
true. Every promo, it stops as soon as they're like, and then Lawrence Holmes from 6 to 10, and then nothing ever again after that until 5 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Do you and Les transition?
No. I did that with Les once.
And you were stuck here for 45 minutes.
Yeah, for 45. That was just when he finished his update. It was like 45 minutes later.
Yeah. You can get caught into the vortex. You can get caught in the vortex.
Plus, his listeners hate me. At like 11:45, they start screaming like, where's Les?
Hey, the man has a rabid fan base. And so, like, I was in the preseason game. Was it Bears-Chiefs when they didn't play anybody?
Yep.
So I'm sitting there next to Les, and I told him I was recording him because I don't like to sneak record Les. And he was talking into his phone, and I think he was doing, like, a Facebook Live. And he was like, this is complete baloney. And so I caught that, and I'm not going to say who, but someone turned it into a meme for me. I'm sorry, to a GIF for
me. As they should.
They turned it into a GIF for me, and now I just have it. So if I ever want to use it, I can. Maybe I'll use it tonight. Maybe I'll just tweet out just complete baloney. And it's just him. It's so great. Like, it's so Les.
If they're using the saber metrics, they should be banned.
Wow.
Well, I don't know about that. But he should be happy. Didn't they put Pluto back? And he gets back to being a planet again and not like a subplanet.
I don't know if it's officially back to being a planet. But here's the thing. If we have Pluto, then we have to add like 200 other planets. Right? Because Pluto is just the closest ice ball thingy that we could see. There's a whole ton more of them out there.
Yeah. I guess. I'm fine with
it. Should have had Neil deGrasse Tyson in here to talk about it.
Or Clayton Kershaw, because didn't his uncle... No, his uncle, like, discovered Pluto.
What?
Yeah. Shane, did you not know that? Shane doesn't care. He's not listening.
I had no idea.
Yeah, he discovered Pluto.
It feels like it should have been discovered longer ago than that.
And he's from, like, Streeter.
Streeter, Illinois?
Yeah. Wow. I want to say the uncle... I forget the uncle's name. I should know his name.
Is it Pluto?
It's definitely not Pluto.
Doesn't it seem like someone older than a grandfather should have discovered that, though? It feels like it should have been discovered in, like, the 1800s.
Well, maybe you saw it there, but you didn't know what it was.
Just thought it was Uranus again.
Take it easy. That's Mike Freeman's go-to joke on Twitter. Anything space-related. What about Uranus? You know, that's always his. I like to say Uranus. That doesn't help. It doesn't make things better.
I think that's what you're supposed to say.
All right, so did you Wikipedia this?
It's his uncle.
His uncle.
Yeah, that's even like discovered in 1930. His name was Clyde Tombaugh. Again, well, that's a really old uncle. 1930. He was already like, he was 24 in 1930.
He's probably his great uncle.
He was born in 1906.
Is he still alive?
Oh, no, it's his great uncle. You're right.
He's no longer with us.
He's no longer with us.
Maybe he is. Maybe he's the oldest man in the world on top of everything else.
And the headline below it is Clayton Kershaw disses International Astronomers Union over Pluto. That's outstanding.
Yeah, you have to. He was. That's why I think he's Les's favorite player. I think. I don't know if that's true. What are you going to do on the show tonight?
We're going to start off talking about Chili's comments and trying to figure out who exactly he was talking about.
We discussed that a little bit too. And you know what I can't figure out? And I asked Sahadev about this. Whose guy was Chili?
He was Joe's guy, right?
Are we sure? Because didn't...
No, I'm not sure.
Didn't they know him from Boston?
Theo knew him from Boston.
Maybe it doesn't matter. Well, I'm not sure that any of it matters.
Patrick Mooney said today that bringing in Anthony Iaposi,
Your doppelganger, right? That was one of the funniest things I saw on Twitter. You having a hat on and the look that he had.
I had to ball up a shirt and put it under the hat to get it to stick up that high.
I kept wondering, like, what was your mechanism? Because of your hair, I was just wondering, was it perfect? Could it just nest it up there?
No, the first couple I took, it looked like a regular hat, even though I had it on top, because it's like, it's a fit, you know, it's fitted and it's like cool. It was already bent and stuff when I got it. So I had to put stuff under the hat to get it to stick up.
Okay.
And then I had my glasses crooked.
Like him.
And then there's no way to have anything other than a dumb look on your face when you have your glasses like that. So anyway, Patrick Mooney said that bringing in Anthony Iaposi is basically tantamount to putting a sign on the Wrigley marquee saying we screwed up by firing John Mailey.
Hmm.
Which I thought was interesting.
Okay. That maybe now we know. And no one's half the battle.
The more you know.
G.I. Joe.
We're also going to talk some Bulls and Bears.
It's Cubs, Bulls, Bears.
That
seems like any guests on the show tonight?
I just want to talk a little bit about John Gruden. Yeah, Steph No from The Athletic is going to be here. My buddy Evan Altman is going to be here. So we got some stuff.
Why do you want to talk about John Gruden?
Because he is like two steps away from being committed somewhere. Do you see the picture of him on Deadspin? His face is bright red, and he's, like, yelling about the pass rush. It's the most beautiful thing.
That's when a lot of big fumbles occur at the end of plays.
Okay.
Wait, you always want to talk about Jason Witten. Did you listen to Jason Witten last night?
He's a struggle.
How many people do you think were passed over? Here's the thing. Everybody in broadcasting has to work through their issues, right? God knows I did. But how many of us get to do it on Monday Night Football?
I just wish that they would just put Booger in the booth with them and be done with it, because it's still awkward. Because Witten is trying to figure out when he should talk and when he should lay out. And Tess is doing all the Tess stuff. And Booger doesn't care. Like, he has an open mic. I feel like it would be better from a chemistry standpoint. And Witten could get better faster if all three of them were in the same room.
Did you see what the people who sit behind Booger, like the big flat screen they put in front of them to see the game?
That's dope.
I would be so angry if I showed up and that was in front of my seat.
Yeah, and it's like moving up and down the field too,
yeah,
right?
Right.
He's on a dolly.
I would be so mad.
I'd be mad too. This hour being brought to you by Pearl Mortgage. Go to perldavid.com. Julie DeCaro's show is coming up next. She will be on until midnight. Please show her the same love that you showed me. I'll be back. Wait, I don't have to leave yet? Because I got to tell you about the Chicago Wolves. Okay, I can do that. Bottom of the hour, I guess the top of the hour now. Brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. With 3 first-round and 3 second-round draft choices, the Chicago Wolves are positioned to be the last team standing. The Wolves host arch-rival Milwaukee Admirals Sunday at 3 at Allstate Arena. First 1,000 fans receive a free GameWorks gift card. That's dope. Like I said, show Julie the same love that you showed me. Follow me on Twitter if you want to see that NHL video I was talking about. It's right at the top of my... What? What did you just drop? Oh, don't drop your glasses. We know you can't see with your transition lenses. I'll be back tomorrow at 6. Thanks for listening.
tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.